Again, just a gentle reminder about our question box and, pardon me, stuff the box. Our present meditation is on the critical importance of the lay apostolate. The critical importance of the lay apostolate. As we've been doing, we ask ourselves a series of questions, and the answers based on the teaching of Vatican II. We first ask, what is the principal mission of the lay apostolate? Its primary mission is to announce to the world, by word and action, the message of Jesus Christ and the communication of His grace. Everything else is either secondary or only a means to this primary end. I should add, I gave my first retreat here after my ordination. Would it have been 1948? In all these years, this is the first retreat in which I concentrate on the theme of the lay apostolate. And one reason is because I am becoming increasingly conscious of the absolute need, desperate need, of animating the lay Catholic faithful with the spirit of St. Paul. Nothing else matters in this life except Jesus Christ and Christ crucified. What are the principal means to be used in this lay apostolate? There are mainly two. To proclaim the truth of God's revealed word. And second, to provide the sacraments instituted by Christ. The first means is to proclaim the truth of God's revealed word. Only God knows, but I think a country like ours is literally starving to spiritual death for lack of nourishment on the truth. As I've said so often, quoting Marshall McLuhan, the philosopher of the media, the modern media are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. Our Detroit Free Press, your Chicago Tribune, New York Times, one television program after another, everything but the truth. I'm sure we've heard this before. Truth is conformity of mind with reality. Millions are literally, as I've said before, starving because their minds are not being fed what they need to stay even mentally alive. Pray, beg God to protect our nation in the forthcoming election this year. But remember, we are talking about the apostolate. It is not enough for us to know what God has revealed. We must communicate what God has revealed, communicate that to others, share it with others at every opportunity, and I mean every opportunity. And the second principal means is to provide the sacraments instituted by Christ. It is especially two sacraments that the world needs: the sacrament of the Eucharist and the sacrament of penance or confession. Pray for the conversion of those, I have to say it, those among the clergy, including members of the hierarchy, priests, who are, what a safe word, not promoting devotion to Jesus Christ on earth in the Blessed Sacrament. Pray again for the conversion of those, I repeat, among the clergy who are claiming that general absolution forgives sins. How this needs to be said, underlined, etched in bronze. Over the centuries, in times of epidemic, in time of war, when thousands of soldiers are going to battle, general absolution, I repeat, has been allowed and was effective now over the centuries. But always, and that adverb always is part of our faith, always the one, even though it's a grave emergency, with the situation in one diocese after another, where the sacrament of confession is being, I have to use the verb, prostituted. Even there's real, grave necessity, the absolution is not valid unless the person sincerely intends, at the earliest opportunity, to confess the grave sins committed since one's last confession. Without any intention, the absolution, I repeat, is invalid. I will just mention it here. You've got two more full days to go. Among the objects of your lay apostolate, I want to make sure you know this includes members of the clergy. having taught over 600 of my own Jesuit priests their theology. My 26th year in working for the Holy See. How those ordained, including the episcopate and the priesthood, how they need to be helped, first prayed for, sacrificed for, and where necessary, enlightened. How it pains me to have to say this, but I must. Question. Is the lay apostolate exclusively the witness of a good Christian life? By no means. The true apostle looks for every opportunity of announcing Jesus Christ to others, openly and professedly. I use the words, hope the amplifier is working and you hear what I'm saying. What frightened babies we can be. How Jesus Christ and his teaching needs desperately to be proclaimed in our day. And who is doing it? Now the big question. Why? Why is the lay apostolate so critically important in our day? It is critically important in our day because new issues are facing the church. Grave errors are rampant, trying to undermine religion, the whole moral order, and the very foundations of human society. We'll continue answering this question after further commentary on what we've so far said. Why is the lay apostolate so critically necessary in our day? Because our world in our century is being plagued by grave errors. Rampant, not just trying but succeeding in undermining religion. When you have, as the Holy Father makes so plain, when you have not only Catholic universities, Catholic seminaries, I'm quoting the Holy Father, teaching what is absolutely contrary to the revealed truth given to us by Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder that the church in what one professedly developed nation after another, like our own. What a mild statement. The Catholic Church in America is in crisis. We've given some statistics. We all know what's going on. Now there have to be some believing Catholics who are so firm in their faith and I mean it, ready to die, then question a single truth revealed by the incarnate God. The revealed truth of God becoming man. And no minor observation, man, masculine gender. Believing, how did God become man? Died on the cross, and really, truly, historically, rose from the dead. I am too familiar with too much of what is in print today. All the learned, God forgive them, scholars, undermining Christ's historical resurrection. Believing that is Jesus Christ is on earth. How pleased I was to hear a bishop, just a year, without identifying the diocese, here in the diocese, told all the pastors, you may not close any of your churches. And don't tell me, he told them, that the churches will be, well, robbed. Move the people to come to worship our Lord. Oh, you, thank God, and I mean this, you strengthen my faith. And there are people, as I'm confident, like yourselves, who are willing to stand up and be counted to defend the primacy of the Bishop of Rome. And one so-called theologian after another, in one book after another, is undermining the authority of the Vicar of Christ. We continue with our answer. The question, remember, is, why is the lay apostolate critically important in our day? But the focus is on the word lay apostolate. The church needs you. Religious need you. Priests need you. And I mean every syllable. Bishops need you. Your faith strengthens our faith. We continue with the answer. For these reasons, the church enjoins the laity, and the verb in Latin is obliges, enjoins the laity, to engage in the apostolate more than ever in Christian history. She, that the church, depends on their talents, that's your talents, your fidelity to explain and defend the teachings of the Savior in coping with the critical problems of our times. When you have, dare I call him a moral theologian, front page of the New York Times, defending, promoting fetal experimentation. There is no fetus. There is a human being from the moment of conception. I repeat, the church needs you, and within the church, and I mean again, every word, bishops and priests need you to not hesitate to speak out kindly, charitably, but firmly. Next question. How does the temple order relate to the lay apostolate? This may be surprising. The two, the lay apostolate and the temple order, so the council tells us, are related as condition and consequence. Everything in the temple order, family values and culture, economics and the trades, professions and politics, national and international relations, are all closely, very closely related to man's final purpose of existence. You dare not separate economics from the Gospels, or politics from the teaching of Christ, without, I don't say just, undermining Christianity. You undermine civil, shall I use the term, civilized society. Among the brazen lies of Karl Marx, one of the worst, was his description of Christianity. Christianity is a religion which tells people to suffer, endure in this life, and then promise them a reward in the life to come. That's a demonic lie. Of course, in following Christ, we will have to carry our cross. But Christ is our God, not only to lead us to heaven. He was our God who tells us how we are to live on earth in peace. The 20th century is the most military and homicidal century in human history. All this world needs, on the temporal level, in which, say, you people are so deeply involved, all this world needs the teaching of Jesus Christ. Let's be honest. And let me be outspoken. All the teachings of the church, in one papal document after another, there'll be so much wasted print unless you people put Christ's teaching into practice and proclaim it in your lives, in the temple order in which you live. All that we've identified, according to the council, trades, professions, politics, economics, the family depend on Christ's teaching being proclaimed, and I mean proclaimed especially by you people who are living in this world. All of this is part of the divine plan to lead not just individuals, but societies to their eternal destiny. Remember, we are talking about the critical importance of the lay apostolate in our day. Here's an unexpected question. How has original sin affected human society? Answer. Original sin has not only given each person a fallen human nature. Man has been deeply affected as a social being. I could spend, I'm not exaggerating, the next week talking about, explaining, and bringing out the importance of recognizing that it's not just individuals who committed this world with original sin and a fallen human nature. It is human societies are fallen, sin-laden societies. Ignorance of the truth, weakness of the will, and sinful tendencies are inherited by whole cultures. How many fathers and mothers have told me, "Father, we've done everything we possibly could for our children, but now, see what happened." We are already conceived and born into a sin-laden society. As we are sadly learning in our day, men are tempted to place fanatical trust in science and technology. I'm quoting the council. They are being led to nothing less than idolatry of the things of this world, and thus become slaves rather than masters of the very creatures in their lives. We all need to hear this, beginning with the speaker. It is not only that each one of us, as the psalmist in the Miserere tells us, "In sin has my mother conceived me." It is not only we as individuals that come into this world with a fallen human nature. Even when, thank God, we receive the sacrament of baptism and had the life of God's grace restored to our souls. But hear it. Baptism does not remove our falling human nature. We all, and I mean this, beginning with a speaker, you're all naturally proud, naturally lustful. naturally irascible, naturally greedy, naturally envious, naturally, spontaneously lazy. You're all naturally gluttonous. Is your faith in mine? This original sin that we talk about is not only the sin of individuals, it is the sin of whole societies. There are countries, many countries, that will absolutely refuse the importing of any American movies into their nations. Thank God. And after a while, if a whole nation, not just, I repeat, individuals, if whole nations become, as we have come to say, prideful, whole nations becoming lustful, how we need, and you especially, you fathers, how well you know, you're going to rear your children in Christianity, bring them up to live a moral life according to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Oh, how poetic, how idealistic, how unrealistic the clergy can be, I know. Living in a dream world, you know. Thank God, the Holy See has come out with a document. I just hope that one diocese after another will believe and accept that document on sex education. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on one diocese after another is not only allowed or tolerated, but mandated sex education to the young. The church needs you. I use this adverb deliberately. The church needs you desperately. And all of this is because we are here talking by the critical necessity of the lay apostolate. Because not just individuals, but whole societies have a fallen human nature. We ask, what is the distinctive responsibility of the laity in these critical times? It is, so the Church tells us, precisely to renew where necessary and restore the temporal order of our society to the divine plan of salvation. How we need you people to do something about the media in our nation. one television program after another. I mean what I'm saying. There are exceptions. But lecherous, lewd, deliberately aimed at subverting the morality, especially of the young. Will somebody, dear God, do something to stop this massive demonic demoralization to our media? Our newspapers. I was living in Chicago regularly, one Monday after another, Chicago Tribune featuring one more scandal among the clergy. As the chief exorcist of Rome told me, when I asked him, how is it that you tell me on a given busy day you may have as many as 15 exorcisms in one day? Well, the United States. How come? I've never forgotten his answer. Father, he called me. The devil has deeply invaded America. Now, a big practical question. Concretely, how is all of this that we're talking about to be accomplished? Remember the topic, the theme for this meditation. The critical necessity of the lay apostolate in our day. The Council tells us the laity are to respect the principles of the temple order. But all the while, we are to harmonize these principles with the revealed principles of the Christian faith. In other words, they, that's you, are to make clear that everything in this world is only a means to an end. It is not an end in itself. The true end or purpose of even the most advanced discoveries of science or development of human nature. All of this is intended by God not to make our life here on earth more blissful, but to provide us with effective means of reaching our destiny. To how many mothers and fathers I've told this over the years. God has given you children, but hear it. Of course, to bring these children into the world, that's this world, to rear them, train them, care for them. But you are parents not only for children in this world, you are parents for children in eternity. What a difference. What a mountainous difference between seeing yourself as the father of a child or of children whom you are raising and clothing, housing, and enabling to live, will a peaceful and happy life here on earth. The United States, I've said more than once, has no birth rate which is below survival. Even to bring children into the world, but then, and this is the hardest part, you fathers, or please God, fathers to be, you will be only as effective a father in bringing children into heaven as you are yourself living an honest to godly Christian Catholic life. How a modern world, more than ever in human history, how the modern world needs those who have the true faith, who we call the lay faithful, to live holy lives. And remember, the underlying theme of this retreat is not only, though of course it includes, such reformation of our own lives as our conscience tells us we need to, shall I say, repair. No. We have an obligation not just to provide for our own salvation. I repeat the word obligation, to bring others to heaven with us. And of course, there are two more days to go. This will take courage. Shall I use the word manly courage? Only God knows all the reasons for the devastating feminist movement in the modern world. But one reason, I believe, is the cowardice of men, masculine gender. It is not machoism, not throwing your weight around. This is exercising the leadership which Christ wants us men to both have and use for not just, I repeat, our own salvation, but the salvation of those, especially whom God has placed into our lives.